Well, hello, everybody. It's so nice to have you back with us again for another episode of Open House, where we love to celebrate who we are and what we do as a community. If you've ever driven along Route 30, you may have passed the Adams Rescue Mission. I know for myself, I think, well, what a great place to drop off my used goods to help support the community. But it's really so much more than that. And our guest today is going to tell us a little bit more about her partnership with the Adams Rescue Mission and some projects that they're working on. So I would like to introduce for all of you, Rachel Greathouse. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. It's really great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Yes. I believe you told me that you are the Director of Child Development.
Yes.
Yes. And you work with or for or both?
I work for Adams Rescue Mission, and then I am heading up our daycares. So we are attempting to open 4 to 6 daycares in the next couple of years, and I'm working on all of that right now.
So I'll tell our listeners, I met you at a recent banquet that was put on by the Adams Rescue Mission. Some of you know it as ARM. And so when I was attending and I was listening to you speak and others as well, I was really just moved by the statistics in our area of single women and women with children, and the growing need to be able to provide for their needs, where it feels like they're stuck and they can't get out of this particular cycle. So maybe you could speak to our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah. So our number one reason for doing this is just because with the Agape House and our women's shelter, just seeing so many women that are single moms and they're trying to get back into working or getting the help that they need, and they don't have childcare. But also just in our area, there is not a lot of childcare, and if there is, where there's not a wait list, because the normal wait list is up to 2 years in our area, then a lot of the time it's unaffordable. So even if they're able to get subsidies, the copays can still be too much if you're trying to get back on your feet. But the other piece to it is if you don't have a job, you're not able to get subsidies. And then without subsidies, you can't pay for childcare. So it's just a cycle, and then it just keeps going on and on, where you're living off of the different systems and not moving forward.
Well, and not only living off the different systems, but a lot of them, do I understand, they're homeless. They don't even have, like, a place to land because they can't get the help that they need.
Yeah, that, and then even if they do have family in the area, a lot of the time it won't be, like, good relationships where you feel safe leaving your child with somebody. And sometimes there's abusive relationships as well, where they won't work because they just don't feel safe leaving their child with somebody, and then the spouse or partner is also just abusive, so they end up staying in that relationship because can't get out of it.
So I'm actually going to pause that part for just a minute, because I like the opportunity that you told me that you had to actually start working with the Adams Rescue Mission. So if I understood you correctly, you brought a group of students, not students.
Congregants. So I attend Gettysburg Foursquare Church, and I'm on the missions board there. So we do several outreaches in our community each year, but Adams Rescue Mission is one of our biggest partners that we donate to and just try to help. So we were able to do a courtyard renovation for the guys at the mission to give them just a space that's relaxing. And we just did baptisms there on Sunday, so it's
awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's how I started there. And I was actually ending my career in banking because I was on a wait list for about 18 months with my son, and we were just piecing together childcare with family and friends. And so I ended up saying to Will, hey, I'm quitting my job, but I was also doing that project. So yeah, I got to start with the mission in November, and my eyes have been open too, because I did really see the mission as a homeless shelter before, and the thrift store and all of that, but like really working there and seeing the restoration that happens with the guys, like, that are coming out of prison, or sometimes they get them from hospitals, and then also just getting to work with the women at the Agape House and seeing their stories. It's just been so cool. So
I'll piece it all together.
Yes.
because I think sometimes, you know, we go about our regular routines. We're living our life. We go to our jobs, and we're just in our own little bubble, and we don't really realize there's so much more to the community that's around us and the needs that are there, and the small ways that we can actually contribute to that without even realizing. My little tiny step made a huge ripple effect in the world that's around me. So you are part of your community at church. You're on the missions board. You take a group to go serve at the Adams Rescue Mission, not going looking for a job. Is right. that right?
Correct.
And so you get there, and all of a sudden this door opens up, all because you had a heart to serve and to plug other people into opportunities of how to be that ripple effect. Right. And the next thing you know, a door is opening.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, I'm quitting banking. I know there's more. I think that's amazing that, you know, one step leads to the next thing. You don't even realize it, because I think oftentimes we think, well, what can I do? What's my part? I don't even know how to start to get involved, but it's really just taking that next step.
Yeah.
And that's what you did.
Yeah.
And so now you've been working with the Adams Rescue Mission for
about 8 months. Yeah.
8 months.
Yeah.
And you were saying how your eyes have been opened to there is more. I would say the same. I met you at the banquet, right? And I'm thinking, this is a little bit mind-blowing, you know, because, again, oftentimes we clean out our closets and our cabinets, and we think, I'm just going to drop this off. And that's awesome. Please keep doing that. And please keep supporting the Adams Rescue Mission. But I love hearing the heart behind. It's so much more than a thrift store. It's so much more than a homeless shelter to help get people off the streets. But the heart behind it is, I would even say, it's international.
Yep.
It's huge. It's not just on Route 30, little tiny Adams County. And so I think that's where I'll take my next question. With being the director of child development and wanting to start these daycares to help women, where is your goal for your first location?
Yes, so we have been working on a location in York Springs at Chapel Hill Church of God. We are in the process of getting licensed there, and hopefully we will be able to open this summer. Licensing takes a little bit, and we've run into a couple complications. But we also have been talking with a church that is south of Gettysburg. I'm meeting with one today that's near Biglerville. And then we have interest from the middle of Gettysburg as well. So, like, the goal is to go all around Adams County.
Like in a big circle.
Yeah, just to surround those areas. And then that gives, like, if a mom can start working again, she's a single mom and she starts working again, then she can have a bigger range of where she can work, because then she's not running all the way to Gettysburg if she gets into a daycare there, and then back to York Springs, and then to her job, or, you know, however, just to shorten commutes, give more opportunity, and then also just help those communities, because there are a lot of low-income families in those areas. So we're really aiming to be a stepping stone for families as well. So maybe they're in this childcare for a year, and then they've been working, and then they are able to afford a traditional childcare that maybe is more of a learning center or a preschool or something like that. So it's really meant to be a stepping stone, not necessarily like from age one to kindergarten, the whole time. If it has to be, that's okay. But it's really to help those needs that are unmet right now.
So with the daycares, let me rephrase my question. Are you partnering with local churches for the facility to have a daycare, or are you looking for buildings to rent? How does that work?
We're really aiming to partner all with churches. Okay. And churches in the area that have unused or underutilized childcare space. Mm-hmm. For one, it gives back to that church so that maybe then the families would go to the church. But also just being able to lease it from them, it gives them another source of income. If it's maybe a church that the congregation's slowing down, then it's another way to just give back to the community and help that church thrive a little bit more too.
And I'm sure it opens doors to get people from the church plugged into maybe starting to help in childcare or move in that direction.
Yeah.
What's the maximum capacity for each daycare?
So right now it'll be 12 children in each daycare, and we're taking from age 12 months to the enrollment in kindergarten. We may take infants in the future, just depending on our workforce, so if we're able to get a strong team. But infants just take, they're on a whole different schedule with feedings and naps and everything, so you need more workers for that. But yeah, so up to 12 right now, and then if we are able to get somebody that has a director's license, or if I'm able to get my CDA or, you know, whatever, then we could do, Pennsylvania also has then the child care center, which is 7+ children, depending on your space. So like in York Springs, the space could hold, it could hold almost 30 children with the space that we have, because we have the fellowship hall and a couple classrooms. Each classroom holds 5, and then the fellowship hall could hold like 20 kids. But we, with the group childcare licensing with the state, it's only up to 12 children. So, because you have to have somebody that has the directors.
Absolutely. So. So maybe could you break down again just a little bit how funding works? I know you mentioned something about sponsoring a child for people that need assistance in childcare.
So we are going to have a 30 to 60 day window where if a parent isn't working, then we'll provide a scholarship. And the reason for that is that with subsidies, you do have to have a job, and it has to be all the parents in the home or all the adults in the home. So if you're living with grandparents, they would have to have a job in order for you to get the subsidies. So we'll provide that scholarship between the 30 and 60 days. And then we'll help that parent to get the subsidies through Child Care Works with the state. And then if they are able to get the subsidies but cannot necessarily pay the copay, because sometimes it's like $20, sometimes it's $40, just depending on their income level, then we could also provide a scholarship for that. So really the funding is coming from the subsidies, but then also from donations and grants if we're able to get any grants. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you like go to look for grants and they're like, we don't have any money right now.
Sure.
But yeah, so just like a couple of different ways, but really we are looking for some donors that would like to like sponsor a child for maybe for a year or two, just for those scholarships. And the other piece, too, is that we're allowing for people to get their education. So sometimes the roadblock is really like maybe they weren't able to finish their college for being a teacher or their GED even. And a lot of jobs won't accept people that don't have their high school diploma or their GED. So if they're in education, they wouldn't necessarily qualify for subsidies either. So that would be another situation where we could then provide that scholarship. So,
I think if permitted, we can tell a little bit of that young lady's story that we heard. She shared her testimony at the banquet. But it's important, I think, to know too that we all come from different walks of life, and you know, nobody wakes up one morning and thinks, I'm going to be homeless today. Nobody wants to be in that situation. And I can only imagine the feeling of shame that might come with being put in that situation. So for the one testimony that we heard, I was really moved by her story because, you know, we need to show kindness, right? We see that meme all the time. In a world where you can be anything, be kind, because you just don't know who you're sitting next to, or like your example, all you did was take the next step, and now it opened this whole opportunity for you to expand that ripple effect in the community of let's make a difference, mm-hmm. and let's put something in place that are gonna give women their confidence back, provide a safe place mm-hmm. for their children, and restore hope. You know, we all need that, no matter what your walk is. Yeah. You know, those places where you feel like my hope's been shattered. But it's amazing to know that there are people that care, there are people that are doing things, and it's not just to build your own reputation, but for the sake of humanity. I care about you because I care about you because you're worthy of love and you're valuable. So do you want to speak in a little bit behind her story? I'm not going to mention her name, but if you could maybe tell our listeners some of her story.
Yeah. So she moved to this country, was in a relationship, and it ended up just not being the best relationship, had a baby. And so she was a physical therapist in her country. And so then she ended up at the Agape House with her daughter because she needed to get out of that relationship. And so she has successfully, I think she's graduated. She's close to being graduated from the program. And so she has come through that program, and it's just made a difference to her to have people that care about her whenever she didn't have family around. She didn't have anyone to support her. So we've been helping her with her daughter while she studies. So she's trying to get her medical degree again. But she literally has to translate her books from English to her language in order to study. So we've been helping give her a little bit of babysitting time to just study for that. But it's made a huge difference for her. And it's just an example of coming alongside women that are struggling and don't have the support, because I think a lot of the time we take for granted that, like I think I might, that I have support, that if I need a babysitter in a pinch, I can certainly get that, but there are women that just, you can't go to the doctors because you don't have a childcare, and it's really hard once kids get a little older to take them with you, or like, you know, just different things like that, that you don't have the childcare to be able to continue your education or go back to work.
So because of the childcare that she's able to receive by what you offer and what's being provided, she's been able to now go to school so she can try to get a job, all while learning English here and trying to like find her foothold again, because, you know, again, nobody expects to wake up one day in a traumatic situation, you know, but to know that there is hope, there are people that care. And I love that the rescue mission offers that, and the heart behind the vision that you guys want to expound upon to help make it a safer community in Adams County. Maybe if you could just attach a sidebars to the daycares that you're wanting to start. I know you also mentioned a single woman's home. What does that look like? Is that in the works? How does that have to do with the daycare system?
Yeah, so where our first location is at Chapel Hill Church of God is where our single women's shelter is also going to be. I'm not exactly positive on when it will be opening because that's another piece where it has to be licensed and all of that. But if there is opportunity for the women to be able to help in the childcare there at that location or at another location, if there's transportation, then that would certainly be great. I know our director and our ministry director have been working on trying to get more work programs for the men and women. It's just another way that then they can get back to the community, but also get back on their feet. So if we can do that with the childcare as well, that'd be great. Of course, there's all of the background checks and everything that need to happen, but just getting them involved too in doing what we're doing, and yeah.
So is the single woman's home like the Agape House? Is it a sister to the Agape House?
It'll be something similar. I think they're still working on the name.
Okay. Sure.
But it will be just for single women. So the Agape House is really meant for women and children. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the Hope House, which we partner with Safe Home and CYS to have apartments there for people that need them. But and that one is more for like families. So if you had like a husband, wife, and children that were homeless or something, then they could go in there. And then the Agape House is really more for women and children. So, and then this would be for just women, because really at our main location, it's all men, and they're single men. So it's a single men's shelter, single women's shelter. So.
Maybe you said this and I missed it,
yeah.
But so when the women have a place to go, is there opportunity for them to also get plugged in to work? So for the
yes.
men, maybe it's working at the store
mm-hmm.
or...
Yeah, so the men mostly work at the recycling center, which is right behind. I mean, we have a warehouse and then the thrift store, and then there's, like, recycling as well. So the men will do that, and then they also will do a lot of, like, pickups and drop-offs for, like, furniture and different things to support the thrift store. But we're also looking for different opportunities in the community to be able to help. Like, maybe a church needs a cleaner. Or snow removal or grass cutting. So we've been looking for opportunities like that to get the men involved in working. The same for the women, though, too. So a work program that allows them to, yeah, clean or do something that is just also adds to their time during the day. So, like, they do go to counseling. We have Christian counseling now at both locations. So they do go to counseling, and then they join group sessions for Celebrate Recovery from different addictions or trauma that they've been through. And then, you know, some of them may have a job, but some of them may not. And so that gives them another piece of restoration and feeling like they have a schedule and something to
sure.
do during the day.
Yep, absolutely. So, sorry. I'm hearing that there's a lot of ways to get involved.
Yes.
You know, there's so much more behind just the Adams Rescue Mission. And so your first step was, I just want to go serve for a day. So there's that opportunity if you want to go serve for a day. Obviously, your gently used donated goods,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm imagining the proceeds go to help, you know, the cycle
yep.
of ministry that you guys are doing.
Yep.
So what would you say to the listeners watching? Maybe somebody watching, you know, someone who's struggling and you don't know how to give them that next step on where to get connected. Or maybe somebody is watching and that was you and you want to give back to the community. Or maybe somebody is watching and you would say, that really resonates with my story, but I'm really scared. So I gave you a lot there, but what words of encouragement would you give into those people watching?
Yeah, so really you can find all about the mission on our website, adamsrescuemission.org. But as far as the daycare stuff goes, if anyone's interested in being an employee or a volunteer, or in donating, we still need a couple, like, emergency cribs, things like that. That's also on the website there. But, yeah, I think really just keeping up with our news and then also just prayers. Like, these men and women have so much trauma. They have a long way to go yet. And just prayers that they would, you know, be restored in their own life and then have people surrounding them as they then move on, graduate from our programs too, so.
Is it possible to just show up at the mission to get that information as well? Like, let's say you don't have a lot of access right now to technology or even those connections with people. You can just walk in and somehow get connected.
So our office is open from 9 to 4 every day during the week, so Monday through Friday, and it's right at the thrift store that you go in the right door instead of the left one. But yeah, we would love to connect with anybody in the community as you can come in.
Let's say somebody needed prayer on the spot. Is that offered there too? Like, I just need somebody to pray with me and you can just walk in. And,
sure. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is a Christian organization. So like every day when we have our meetings and everything, we always pray. And for all of the situations that come up, I mean, the men and women always need prayer. And then I have seen like a lot of situations too, just working there, that like people come in from the prison or that are waiting on a bus ride, and just getting them a cup of coffee and being able to talk with them. So yeah, we're absolutely happy to do that.
I like that it's a safe place. And I think it's important to highlight that, because, you know, people who have been through any kind of trauma want to know, am I going to be safe? Is it safe to trust this person or this organization? And I'm really thankful that, you know, there are people who are stepping up to be a soft landing for people to get back on their feet. It was also really great to hear those testimonies. It's almost like a hidden cocoon, you know, the butterfly effect. Like, I'm hidden away for a while, but it's not the end of my story. And I see that being offered. Your story doesn't stop here in this place of this trauma that you've encountered or this hopeless situation that you find yourself in. But people coming out of this ministry have a place to flourish and blossom. And it's like the butterfly effect, you know, and then they're able to give back. And I just think it's beautiful. So I was trying not to cry. Yeah, it's been really great meeting with you and talking with you. And I know when we had our meeting, I'm like, who was that person? We have to get her in and hear her story. And, you know, what's the more behind the door? There's more behind the door. So it's been a pleasure having you on today.
Thank you so much.
Is there any final words that you want to offer our listeners?
I guess I would just say, just taking that step, especially whenever you're not sure on what's next. As funny as it is, so I have been reading this story, and I don't know if this is okay or not, but I've been reading this story to my son. It's called The Little Engine That Could, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with it. But it's been striking me differently lately, because it's really like the little blue engine gets to the train that needs help. And it says she thinks about all of the kids on the other side of the mountain that couldn't, they wouldn't get their toys and all of that if she doesn't help, because all of the other engines pass by. And so it's just been striking me that, like, sometimes it's you that, if you just allow God to use you or you just take that step, then he will do the rest of the work. And he knows what's on the other side of that mountain.
That was so beautiful. Thank you.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're so happy that you tuned in to this very special episode of Open House with us today. We hope that your hearts were encouraged and that you will take that action step, like the little engine that could, because you also have a part to play in making our community safe, vibrant, and thriving. Until next time, bye. Mm-hmm.